How do you love it when you see a promotion that says, buy one, take one? I like that promotion. You buy one and take one. Get one. Well, free items, when you buy their products, had been very attractive, right? It attracts one. It attracts customers. If they are promoting buy one, take one. Vehicle, or house, or computer, or cell phone. Oh, that looks great to buyers. Have you seen those things? Buy one, take one. But if the product promoted for buy one, take one is coffin or casket for the dead, will you consider buying it, buying your own casket with one free coffin included? Seriously? Seriously, traders and merchants don't hesitate to offer freebies just to catch the attention of possible buyers who are not ready yet to spend their money. Some buyers assume that those free items had been estimated and added to the actual value of the product to be sold. Anyway, customers are very much attracted to freebies items. Spiritually speaking, did you know that you can freely enter heaven? It's free to enter heaven. Well, not everyone is attracted. Others would rather work hard for the wages of sin, which is death. For the wages of sin is death. Really? Well, when we place our faith in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we expect Him to take us into His heaven when He returns. When we tell our friend that faith in Christ includes citizenship in heaven, we should also tell potential believers that they need to ask God for the free gift of faith. We just cannot believe Christ on our own effort. And this faith is gift from God. So if there's this doubt in you that you cannot believe in Christ, ask the Lord, Lord, give me faith to trust Christ. So do you strongly believe what it declares in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 to 10? Let's read this together. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are handiwork, God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Now, think about that. God prepared good works in advance for us to do. It is not us who would think of that work. It is God who wants us to know which work He wants us to do. Even before we became Christian, even before anyone became Christian, God prepared in advance the good work that we should do. Why? Why did God prepare that? Why did God not just allow us to do it on our own and do the good works and then assess us? If we can do the good works, then, oh, you did good one, good job. You are lacking something, you do it better next time. Why not something like that? Well, the good works that we know, good works that originated from humans, fell short, or it is inferior. The good works we do is inferior to the glorious standard of the goodness of God. God has His perfect, glorious standard, but even if we combine all the good works that we do on earth as human, we still maybe 1 inch short, I don't know. But we fall short to the glorious standard of God. Why? Because we are imperfect. Who among you could say that you are perfect? So how could imperfect make perfect things? How could a limited human being do the perfect thing? How can we accomplish then? How can we attain that? How can we achieve then the excellent benchmark of goodness of God? How? Only by God's grace through faith in Christ. We pray, Lord, give me faith. Give me faith to trust Christ. Give me your Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, empower me. And when the Holy Spirit empowers us to do the good things that God had prepared for us, that is when God accepts our goodness, the good work that we do, not on our own human effort, not on our own human initiative. And when by faith we accomplish the good work that God prepared, we can also practically prove that our faith in Him is active, that our faith in Him is not idle. One good work that God prepared for us is this. It's tough. Submission to every human authority. Can you repeat that? Submission to every human authority. Submission to every human authority. Every human authority, not particular authority. Every human authority. Let's read again verse 13 and 14. Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every human authority, whether to the emperor as the supreme authority or to governors who are sent by him to punish those who do wrong or to commend those who do right. Now we have governors, but when it says governors, those who govern, if they govern, if they have authority, they are the governors. It's not because they are elected as governor. That title governor has been used in politics, but that is not what it describes here. The governor is the one who governs, who have authority, who gives the rules, who gives the regulations. How do you know that your faith in the Lord is idle or active? It is easy to say, my faith is active. I have faith. It is easy to claim that. Everyone can claim that. But how do you know practically that it is not idle faith? We test our faith. Test your faith if it is active or not, or is still, if you really have faith. God commands us, submit to human authorities, every human authority. And if you sense that peace, that joyful peace, peace with gladness, your faith is active. That peace that comes from the Lord. That faith, that peace and joy and gladness as fruit of the Holy Spirit. So when the Holy Spirit empowers us, we do not even think about it, should I obey, should I not? Because there's that gladness. That gladness gives us that spontaneous enthusiasm to obey and submit to authorities. And for the sake of our faith in Christ, we should not be selective of human authority. I respect him because he is the boss. I respect him because he is the president. Sometimes we wish to submit ourselves to somebody else, but not to everyone else. But the Bible says, submit to every human authorities. That is the command that the Lord have us to follow. How do you interpret when it declares in John chapter 1, verse 12 to 13? How do you interpret this? Personally, let's read. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God. Believers in Christ are given the right to become children of God. Now, let me ask you, are you a child of God? Can you raise your hand? You are a child of God? Do you really want to be called a child of God? Now, that is yours to claim. Indeed, you are a child of God if you have faith in Christ, because the Bible says, to those who believe him, to those who receive him, believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. You are given the right to become children of God. If so, if you say yes, if you are a child of God, it is proper to imitate the kind of obedient submission, willing submission that Christ had set for children of God to follow. Christ has given us example how to submit to human authorities. He is the Son of God. We are children of God. He exemplified submission to human authorities, and we, as children of God, we follow his example. What did Christ do as example of submission to human authorities? It prophesied and it happened in Isaiah chapter 53, verse 4 to 7. Let's read this. Surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering. Yet we consider him punished by God, stricken by him, and afflicted. He was pierced for our transgression. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him. By his wound we are healed. We all like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was like a lamb to the slaughter, as a sheep before its shear is silent, so he did not open his mouth. No complaint, no grumbling, no resistance. He submitted to the human authority, wicked authority who tortured us to death. In his submission to authority who accused him, Christ was crucified, tortured to death. And Pilate, the governor, says, I found no basis to charge him to death. Pilate, the governor himself, saw that Jesus was innocent. His death, torture, it did not stop Jesus Christ from submission to the wicked human authorities. Think about your situation now. What situation is harsher, more unpleasant, more undesirable than death that we may think of as reason so that we resist and not submit to human authorities? What? There are disagreement of ideologies. There are disagreement of governance, style of governance. Those may cause resistance. I don't want your political belief. I don't want your political strategies. Resistance is opposition to submission, right? If you resist, you are not submitting. Resistance then is violation of submission. If it is violation to submission, it is sin. 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 Resistant to authorities is sin. Violation to godly command. The godly command is submit to every human authority. For the sake of our faith in Christ, we obey the Lord. We obey Him. We obey His command. The command is submit ourselves to every human authority. Can you agree? Godly wisdom helps us understand and acknowledge that when we submit to human authority, it is a way of God to bless the obedient. Do you accept, listen carefully, everyone, do you accept that parents are human authorities? Can you accept that? Do you accept that your mother, old mother, your older father is authority? Children don't easily submit to parents. Why? Why do we not easily submit to our parents? Even parents now, they have their share of disobedience when they were in your age, younger people. Why? Why do we not easily submit to human authorities, to our parents? Because it requires faith in Christ for us to submit gladly, for us to have that joy, that peace from the Lord. Submission to all authorities, even to parents, is godly command that requires godly inspiration and godly wisdom. Can you agree? So when children resist, when children rebel against their parents, that is the natural human instinct that prevailed in their life. Human instinct is to resist God. We resist God. That's our human tendency. Whatever is godly, we resist. But when we embrace God's commands, that is the Holy Spirit working in our lives. The Holy Spirit inspires us to submit to parents gladly. Gladly, not grudgingly. It's not something like, okay, I'll do it because you said so. Okay. You heard that from young people. That's the way they respond. Okay. But you sense that grudging obedience. Yes, mother, I gladly obey you. They just cannot say, but yeah, okay, I'll do it. Yeah. I sense that. I sense that resistance. They just do not want to say they are disobedient. But that is the human nature. Is that the obedience? Is that the obedience that the Lord wants? No. That's the human obedience, because there's grudging, there's reluctance. So faith in Christ is required. So parents, this is for you. Pray, help your children to trust Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. Pray for them. Don't complain if they don't obey, because they are just acting in their natural tendency, natural instinct, human instinct. Pray that they will be filled with the Holy Spirit. Keep praying. When they pray, you would praise God. When they obey gladly, you will praise God because your prayer had been answered. Most often, submission to authorities, even to parents, is not very pleasant. You don't like submitting to parents because you would rather want to play your computer or say, oh, I'm doing my homework, or say, I have something to do with my friends. You even give gift much better to your friend than to your parents, right, children? You would rather buy your friend a car than your parents? I don't know. I'm just trying to exaggerate things here. I don't know if you do that. Maybe if you are very rich. Naturally, our natural instinct, we choose to do what we want to do. We choose to do the thing that we think it's exciting for us. Only by God's grace that we gladly submit to human authorities. Human authorities in school, who are they? Not only your teacher, not only your administrator, even those who are directing you to, helping you to cross the road, they are the authority also. You say, stop, or you will have accident. Wait until I say you go. They are the authority. It's not because they are just raising the flag for you to cross the road or not. You think they are just that kind, but they are the authority in there, in that area. Again, in workplaces, who are the authorities? Those who give you order, the boss, supervisor. Do you resist? About the government, we easily see the government as authority. At home, parents, of course. But we are able to submit. Why? Because we are born of God, children of God. That is when we submit, that is the work of the Holy Spirit in us. But why does God want us to submit to all authorities? Reason? To silence foolish opinions. Silence foolish opinion. Verse 15 and 16, let's read this again. For it is God's will that by doing good, you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish people. Live as free people, but do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Live as God's slave. Now take note. Godly commands are guides for us, children of God, how we behave, how we act as children of God. If that is our natural instinct to behave like children of God, we do not need commands. But it's not. Every command of God, we do the opposite. And rejection of God is also rejection to eternal benefit of obeying godly commands. There are eternal benefits when we obey godly commands. And submission to authorities is undesirable to those who rejected God. They reject God because they do not hope for the benefit, eternal benefit. The commands of God are undesirable to them. But when, even to us, it's undesirable if we are following our instinct. But when we are inspired by the Holy Spirit of Christ, that is when we submit to authorities, which is good deeds in God's will. It is good deed. It is God's will. God would use that to silence ignorant views, ignorant assumption. One biblical passage most quoted by Christian. What is your favorite verse, actually? John 3:16, right? This is most cherished passage, cherished verse. But the following verses, from verse 17 to 21, John 3:16 to 21, it should not be disregarded. It should be regarded more seriously. Let's read John 3:16 through 21. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because They have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but the people loved darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God. Can you accept the reality that those who don't believe in Christ don't have light in their life? They don't have light, then they cannot see what is good in the sight of God. For believers, we have the light. Jesus Christ is the light for us believers, so that we see favorable benefits of obeying godly commands, even submission to authorities. Now, if you cannot see the benefit of obeying or submitting to authorities, the benefit of it, then ask the Lord, Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit will enable us to see clearly the benefit of obeying authorities. By faith, we follow the truth. The Holy Spirit of God is the truth, the Spirit of truth. He inspires us to obey His instruction. His word are true. By faith in Christ, Christ is the truth. We receive His Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit of truth, so that we freely obey Him gladly, with joy. But instinctively, our natural tendency, we resist godly commands. As children of God, as people born of God, our behavior, our attitude, our lifestyle, the way we act, the way we dress, the way we think, all of us, every aspect of our life, we should be very conscious and aware that other people, they are observing us. Especially when they know that we are Christian. When they know that you are coming to the Meeples Evangelical Church, they will observe you very closely. They expect us to be like Christ, to act like Christian. They have idea how Christians should act. In submission to authorities, this can be very instrumental to potential believers to be more conscious about Christ-like attitude. Wow, why is that not complaining? Why is that person not saying anything? The boss had been very harsh to that person. Why is that? When they ask you, why do you act like and behave like Christ? Say, I believe in Christ, and He has already prepared rewards for me. And when they ask for more, then explain how you become Christian. God has wonderful ways we do not know yet. Moreover, the rewards of Christ, when He submitted to human authorities, even unto His death, should inspire us to submit to every human authority. What was the reward of Christ? What is the reward of Christ? When He submitted to human authority, it revealed in Revelation chapter 5, verse 12, and we will find that out when we reach heaven. Let's read. In a loud voice, they were saying, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise. Wow. And we will be co-inheritors, co-heirs of Christ. And we submit to human authorities, just like Christ submitted to human authorities, perhaps we would we would have some of those that Christ had. Can you imagine a wonderful life you may have when you consciously obey God? Every moment, if you can do that, pray, Lord, help me be conscious of obeying you. Many times maybe we can be conscious when we are inside the church building, or sometimes when we are praying, but most of the time we are conscious of our feelings, our emotion, our thoughts, our instincts. But when we obey the Lord, when we obey God, we also trust that He provides for our needs, right? Needs to sustain us to continue be submissive to authorities. Lord, this boss is very tough, and I sense that I am about to resist. If you sense that, ask the Lord, Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit. Ask, don't stop until you sense that joyful peace, that gladness deep inside you. By faith, we trust that Christ, the Lord, provides for our needs, just as shepherd would provide for the needs of his sheep. And King David described the wonderful life of having God as shepherd in Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right path for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely, goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now, if you sense that resistance, remember when it says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. That table, it pertains to feasting. That there is feasting, enjoyment, even before enemies that the Lord prepares. If you cannot believe that yet, ask the Lord, Lord, increase my faith in you. So be sensitive, reflect on it now. Do you consider the Lord as your shepherd? Do you still wanting something, or you can say that you lack nothing? Have you received godly provisions, even the needs to relax? Many times you are very tense. You need to relax a little bit. Would you believe that the Lord would provide for that? Has the Lord provide for your practical daily needs yet? Then make sure that the Lord is your shepherd. Do you sense that awesome, peaceful gladness of rest in your innermost being, so that even when you hear an ending pandemic, war happening somewhere, hurricane, earthquake, you still have that peace in you? Not because you do not care. It's not that way. That is not what we are talking about. You care, but you still have peace, and you are not rattled. You are not confused. That is the peaceful peace from the Lord when he becomes our shepherd. Instruction of God in the scripture is our guideline how to follow the path of righteous lifestyle. That righteous lifestyle, that is the lifestyle that God wants us to experience, to have that peaceful gladness. And for the sake of our faith in Christ, for his name's sake, because in us, Christ is seen. If you say you are a Christian, Christ is already in you, in your name. We submit to all authorities because we are Christians. Truly, difficulties in the world, struggles in the world, problems in the world, it causes us to think otherwise, but by faith in Christ, He empowers us not to be scared of problems in this world. We have peace in cases that when we are stressed, in cases that when we are distressed, we find comfortable, restful peace. Read your Bible. Follow the Word of God. If you cannot, ask the Lord, help me, Lord, to follow your word. It declares somewhere, Romans 8:28, in all things it says, pleasant and pleasant circumstances included, God utilized them for the good of those who love Him, of those who have been called to His good godly purpose. Those who love God, obey God. You know that you love God when you obey Him. Don't just say, I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. I love to sing that because I love the Lord. Don't deceive yourself. Make sure that you are obedient to the Lord. Can you believe that without any hint of doubt, that pleasant or unpleasant circumstances, God will use it for your good? Can you believe that? If you have very little doubt, ask the Lord, Lord, remove this doubt. Fill that space where doubt is. Have you taken that doubt? Fill it with the Holy Spirit. Fill me with you, with faith. Give me faith to believe. Trust you. The purpose of God is good. The commands of God is good. Do you agree? If it is good, the command of God to submit to every human authority is good. Can you agree? Now, if you just cannot agree yet, again, I pray that you continue to remember, ask the Lord, Lord, I just cannot submit. Ask the Lord to increase your faith so that. So what should we do to submit to every human authority so that those foolish views, foolish assumption, foolish thoughts might be silenced? We must have proper respect to everyone. Everyone, great or small. Verse 17, it says, show proper respect to everyone. Love the believers, family of believers, fear God, and honor the emperor. I was just reading this and it came to my mind. Most often I hear or read that God had should be the first to be written. But in here it says proper respect to everyone. Oh, okay, that's given. But it says love the family of believers, fear God. Why not Peter wrote fear God, love the family of believers, honor the emperor? Why? Why is fear God in the middle? It's kind of like in grammar, it's not grammatically correct, spiritually speaking. Well, you know Peter. Peter is just, when he think randomly, he just write it randomly. Maybe, but he was inspired by the Holy Spirit. We believe that he was inspired by the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit should have told him, Peter, write fear God first before love of the family. It seems like love of family of believers is more important than fear God. Why is that? See, this is not something that there is a order of authority, of order of most important, of priority. It's not. Because you just cannot write it exactly in the same page on top of the other to say that love of family of believers, respect of to everyone, fear God, and honor the emperor, these are in the same level. Nothing is more important. That is what it means, why it was written something like that. To honor the emperor is not more important than fear God. To fear God is not more important than to honor the emperor. To love the family is not more important than fear God. It means to fear God is the same as when we love the family of believers or honor the emperor in respect for everyone. Sometimes we tend to in our mindset, there is this levels. This is better, this is not so better, that is something like that. Good, better, best, kind like. That is the mindset, our mindset. But in Hebrew thinking, they see this as on the same level. But you have heard it said, respect is earned. Did you ever use that in your Facebook account? Respect is earned. Earn your respect. Someone said, sir, I respect authority. I respect authority, but I choose to do my wish. Oh, I respect your opinion, sir. I respect. That is the humanity idea, general idea of humanity, of respect. What is respect? Now, if you are online in your cell phone, go to that dictionary.com and find the word respect. The godly command to show respect to everyone, powerful or not, believers or not, is best practice in action, not verbal. Action, courteous regard, submission or yielding to others. That is respect. You just cannot say, I respect you, and you are respectful. You are deceiving yourself. You are saying, I don't understand what respect is. For those who know what respect is, you are making yourself ignorant about the word respect. You are saying you are foolish about respect when you just use it verbally without the action of courteous regard. We can respect everyone as practical proof that the Holy Spirit inspired us. We can. Now, for example, in your family, there is argument. Do you have argument in your family often? Of course, because we have different mindset. We argue with everyone. But when there's heated argument in the family and the youngest say, stop the argument. Now, even if you have the right to speak, even if you want to explain more and you stop, that is respect and submission and courteous regard to everyone. Did not say, only to God. Did not say only to emperor. Everyone, great and small. Should we really do that? Can we respect everyone? No, by human effort, no. Can we respect not just those who have earned respect? Naturally, our human mindset, we resist such kind of respectful submission to anyone who had not earned our respect. It's natural. And if you remember this message, pray and ask the Lord, empower me. Additionally, many groups are determined. They are very loud to broadcast their disrespect to others. They are very loud, especially toward authorities. And sometimes we tend to, yeah, they are right. No, they are wrong. Biblically wrong. Even if they have that right, they are biblically wrong. They cannot respect in submission to authorities. They cannot easily respect. If they cannot easily respect or submit to authorities, how could they respect properly the ordinary person? How could they show proper respect to everyone, ordinary person? Sadly, they would rather fight for their right to be heard. It's my right, it's my right, human right, the bill of the Constitution says, I know this Bible. The Constitution says, it's my right. It seems like it is a very noble pursuit for human right. It may win peace prize, Nobel Prize. So those who are fighting for human right, receiving Nobel Prize, they are actually biblically sinning against God. And people would give them that praise, honor, glorify them because they are fighting for their rights. And many among you may be tempted to follow suit. But never did they find in the scripture that the Lord had instructed us not to pursue those kind of worldview. Did the Lord say, fight for your right? Read through the Bible and find one passage where it says, the Lord commands us to fight for our right. But how about those who were fighting during the time of the Israelites? Well, if God had commanded you so, go ahead. What comes to mind, actually, when you see advertisement for job opening, apply. And someone pondered the possibilities about the advertisement for job opening. Why is that job opening? There are a lot of job opening along that area. Job opening. Maybe they have new job opening because they need more employees. Maybe they have created more job. But another one is not easily amused and has different view of job opening. Instead, there could possibly be quick turnover of workers in that establishment. Maybe they just remove those employees. That's why they need more job. They need employees. Strike and rallies, related work situation. It prompted business owners to come up with solution in adjustment in business strategies that may prevent labor strike. I know in the Philippines, it's hard to get permanent job. Most of the time, even minimum wage earner can only have casual job, casual job, casual job, so that you have no time to join the strike because you are not a member of the labor union. But Christians, think about this. When membership with labor union is required for employees, what should you do? What should we do? What do we do? If decrease, there are ordinances that affect our beliefs and practices. What do we do? Should we fight for our right? Is it commanded in the Bible? Well, we can learn what happened to Daniel. It happened during the reign of Darius, king of Persia, King Darius. Administrators and satraps, governors, they advised King Darius, issue a decree. That decree targeted the prayerfulness of Prophet Daniel. And Daniel was caught on his knees praying, giving thanks to God. They saw him. They just sent somebody, secret agent, to spy on him, and they caught him praying. He was thrown into the lion's den. You know the story? God sent an angel, save him from the mouth of the lion's den. And how about those accusers? They and their families, they were the ones who were devoured by the lion. They were thrown into the lion's den. After that tragic event, King Darius proclaimed in Daniel chapter 26 to 28, let's read, I issue a decree that in every part of my kingdom, people must fear and reverence the God of Daniel, for he is the living God and he endures forever. His kingdom will not be destroyed. His dominion will never end. He rescues and he saves. He performs signs and wonders in the heavens and on earth. He has rescued Daniel from the power of the lions. So Daniel prospered during the reign of Darius, in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. Did you know that Daniel served as official under four regimes? First, under King Nebuchadnezzar, then the son of King Nebuchadnezzar, Belshazzar, and then Daniel, and then Darius, I should say, and then Cyrus. Think about your struggle. What struggle is justifiable reason for you to fight for your right more than possible death from the mouth of hungry lion? Like Daniel, we trust that God can utilize for our betterment even the most difficult situation and circumstances. When you are faced in a circumstance where you are forced to submit, remember Daniel. Ask the Lord, Lord, give me faith like Daniel. Remember Joseph. Lord, give me faith like Joseph. Integrity like Joseph. Prayerfulness of Daniel. That I will do what you want, like David. Remember those people and ask God if he may give you some of their character. It declared in Romans 6, verse 19 to 23, verse 20 to 23. Let's read this. When you were slaves to sin, you were free from the control of righteousness. What benefit did you reap at that time from the things you are now ashamed of? Those things result in death. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the benefit you reap leads to holiness. The result is eternal life. For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. When we cannot submit to authorities, it is the sin who is our master. He becomes the boss of our mindset. We follow him. Yes, sin, I will follow you. I will resist. That's the sin who is the master. But when we ask Christ as our Lord and Savior, we follow the Lord what he wants us to do. Remember this. God has given you eternal life. Look forward to that day when you receive your reward because you have obeyed the word of the Lord. As heaven-bound citizen, we live freely. Freely to follow the Lord, not sin. If we are following the sinful desire, we are not free. We would rather be slave to righteousness and follow righteousness because it benefits us now in even eternity. The benefits that Daniel had, not just in eternity, should inspire us. that we would rather obey the Lord if the Lord has planned. God may use even your testimony to inspire other believers who are discouraged, or others who have not believed in the Lord, to be conscious, curious about our faith in God. And we are given the opportunity to testify.